Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us in this show. Now, 33 days passed since the U.S. government shutdown, and the problem still remains unresolved. Senator Lindsey Graham says that he has a proposal for President Donald Trump aimed at putting an end to the partial shutdown that has affected some 800,000 federal workers. Now, Trump has offered 3 years of protection for the so-called Dreamers in exchange for funding for the border wall. House Leader Nancy Pelosi regards it as a non-starter. Now, how much longer will the shutdown go on, and who will bear the burden the most? What's the solution to immigration issues in the U.S.? Mr. Trump's border wall? To start the debate tonight, let's watch this report first.
Barclays Center in New York City, usually hosting concerts or sporting events. Now it hosts a pop-up food pantry for charity. Supplies are given to government employees who haven't received a paycheck for more than a month now because of the government shutdown.
I came here to grab some goods, to be honest. Any way that I can save money and put towards something else, that's what I'm trying to do.
The shutdown began on December 22nd over a row between Congress Democrat leaders and President Donald Trump. The deadlock is the result of a disagreement on a Trump demand for border wall funding. The president wants to build a wall at the Mexico border to contain immigration. But the longer the shutdown gets, the harder things become.
Times is getting hard now. It's getting rough. It's coming to, like, the end of everything.
The employees say now it's food they want, but soon they will be affected in other ways too if the shutdown continues. They want Trump to fix the problem.
I just heard that the public housing, if they don't receive payments by end of February, a lot of people will be homeless. This is not fair to us. It's not. He needs to fix this and fix this fast.
The shutdown is the longest government closure in the U.S., affecting some 800,000 workers.
The last one with Obama in 2013 or 14, that lasted maybe, I think, 12 or 13 days, but it was within a pay period. So we didn't miss a pay. But this one, we're missing two pays come Friday. So that's the hard part about it all.
Volunteers say the situation is unprecedented.
I think it's almost equivalent to times we've had to activate resources and services in response to a disaster.
A similar food bank also runs in Washington, D.C.
Hey, what do you think?
I think it's pretty amazing. It makes me want to cry. People care.
Organizers believe this is a true food humanitarian emergency. They say long lines of people waiting to receive basics tell all about the consequences of the government shutdown.
For me, it's very, very emotional that in this city I love, in this country I belong now, that between the White House and Congress we have to have lines of people that really are in a very cold weather waiting in line for a plate of food. They don't do it for let's have a fun day.
Volunteers say they are proud to provide service to their fellow men. But charity is not interchangeable with the government. They say the government has to be opened as soon as possible.
Now, with that report, let's begin discussing the issue today. We'll have Scott Bennett, political analyst, who is joining us out of San Francisco, and also David K. Johnston, who's an investigative journalist and author from Register. Democrats want the shutdown to end before they agree to discuss immigration issues. Will President Trump bow down to their demand, or will he keep pushing his demand for the $5.7 billion fund he needs for his beautiful border wall?
No, I think the president is going to stand his ground. This is becoming a political issue that the Democrats are going to lose increasingly on because they're going to be seen as obstinate and really sacrificing the American people and government employees for an agenda to try and defeat President Trump in the public relations arena. President Trump has made overtures saying he will grant a three-year DACA bill and provide protection to illegal immigrants for 3 years to work out their immigration status. They've rejected that. The Democrats have rejected that. Nancy Pelosi's also rejecting or trying to reject the State of the Union, which is crazy. And so she's isolating herself, and she's splitting her party, and there's a small civil war starting to erupt in the Democrat Party. And I think all of that is going to play to the advantage of President Trump. Never mind the fact that the American people want to keep their police safe, their families safe from illegal invasion, and a fence barrier is a psychological deterrent that automatically cuts down a lot of the illegal invasion. And the government really isn't shut down. There are agencies and non-essential services that are shut down. But if you look at totality of the budget, those agencies and services, many would argue, should be shut down permanently. So I think the president may also do a reduction in service, which he is entitled by law to do, which would recognize that these agencies and personnel are not basically wanted to do anything in their capacity anymore. There's no need for it. They need to be bought out of their service, or they need to retire, or they need to be transferred to other agencies where there are personnel openings. The government employees can transfer to different agencies and do different jobs.
Okay, we'll come to that.
Or they can retire.
Okay, we'll get to that. All right, let me go to Rochester and ask David. David, do you agree with what Scott is saying? He believes that what Democrats are doing will benefit President Trump.
Not in the least. First of all, the polls show that the public is assigning the blame to Trump. And let's remember what Donald Trump said on national television. I will proudly own this shutdown. 100 U.S. senators voted for the deal Donald had agreed to on funding for border security, and he walked away because two right-wing ideologues on radio called him out for it. He's never going to get his wall. It's not going to happen. In the meantime, he is endangering the country. The FBI has said they are unable to fully conduct counterintelligence investigations because they don't have the authority to do things like pay money to informants. FAA inspectors are not checking the work of airline crashes. If we have an airline crash because of a faulty repair to a plane, Donald Trump owns every single dead body on that airplane. We are not inspecting foods for food safety. And the idea that all of these people who are not coming to work because they've been told not to are not needed is absurd. We created the system that we have, and I'm not arguing it's perfect by any means, but we created the system we have because of demonstrated need for things like safe food, safe airline transportation, and many other public services. Businesses are unable to get their Small Business Administration loans approved. People are not able to close on mortgages and a whole lot of other things because of this. And this shutdown is for something Trump will never get. When he had Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, I'm a registered Republican, he couldn't get the money for the border wall. Now that the House, with a 9 million vote popular margin, is under the control of the Democrats, he's never going to get it. Now, Bill Clinton, who ran for office promising universal health care, when he couldn't get it, when the Republican, he walked away. He realized he'd been defeated. And that's what Donald Trump needs to do. He needs to understand under the Constitution, he is not a dictator, he's an executive.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wait and see. Scott, Senator Graham is saying that he needs 3 weeks to work things out and find a pathway toward a solution. He's saying that he will urge President Trump to sign a measure to reopen the government if House Speaker agrees to take a bipartisan Senate bill that deals with the border wall and other immigration issues. How likely is this to tackle the problem?
Well, it's a political move. It's an attempt to throw an olive branch, if you will, at Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, who are losing their minds and have so much visceral hatred for President Trump that they're willing to really sacrifice all of their constituents in favor of this obstinate strategy of conflict, which will defeat them in 2 years. You'll see Democrats most likely thrown out of office because of this. The president has already said that he will build a wall barrier fence using national security implications, which as commander-in-chief, he has every right under the law to do. I work for the federal government, and I worked in the military too. So the president has national security authorization to defend the United States against foreign invasions or other threats to the continental United States under Northern Command. And I think he's going to do that. So the political dimensions of a wall when your other guest says he won't get it, he may be right, but he doesn't need them. He can go ahead and build it without any additional money. He can use military and National Guard and state resources to do it. And again, the American people really are behind it because they're seeing their senior citizens being killed by illegal aliens. There was a case that just came out where a young man of 19 killed four senior citizens. There's countless stories of this, and this is a psychological trauma on the whole nation. So the healing of that is building a barrier to prevent the invasion,
yes,
as well as
Scott,
other means and activities.
That barrier, should it be really physical, like that wall that President Trump is talking about? Because Democrats saying that there are other ways and more efficient ways. Let me also ask David's opinion about this. David?
Well, in fact, all of the experts who have looked at this have said long before Donald Trump came along that the way to do this involves surveillance, a variety of electronic means, et cetera. Walls are a technology thousands of years old that are easily defeated. And recently, the federal government tested posed walls. And what did they find? They were able to cut through them with electric saws in a matter of minutes. This is the proposed steel fences. If Donald Trump thinks that he is able under federal law, and I don't, not my reading of the federal law at all, to use military funds to build it, then why doesn't he just do that? And the reason is he knows that that's not really true. That's a PR talking point that has no basis in law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It does have absolutely basis in law.
Only if he can establish there's a national emergency and the number of people crossing
and
the border.
And that's his prerogative. That's his prerogative. He doesn't need the Congress to determine that. He is the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces. If he determines there is a threat to the continental United States, he reacts to it in any way that he is given powers to do so.
And why hasn't
now, your other question, he is going to. He's going to. This is a political maneuver.
He's done it already.
But I wanted to answer your, I wanted to answer your other question, if you could restate it.
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
You had asked about if there are other methods to address this. Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay, but let's get back to the main topic. We're talking about Senate and House first to see if they can tackle this problem. Then we may talk about some other thing. If it is okay, now Senate Majority Leader Scott, Mitch McConnell has laid the groundwork for a vote on Thursday, you know, on a Democratic proposal to fund the government for 3 weeks without attaching the $5.7 billion in funding that Mr. Trump is asking for. Now, he will also bring up a proposal by President Trump to end the shutdown, and you know what I'm talking about. Now, what do you predict will happen in Senate?
I don't think it's going to pass if it's a Democrat-sponsored bill because they're making it a political football and they're not putting any proposal that allows any construction of a wall, fence or barrier, and the president is of the same league. So the government's probably going to remain shut down. He is going to do a reduction in force. He's going to declare non-essential personnel in needing of being removed, retired, or transferred to other agencies, and a reconsolidation of government. Let's never forget, the government agencies and services at some point are absorbed into other agencies or changed or shuffled around. They are not permanent edifices of the political landscape of the United States. So this notion that the government was created and these agencies are created and they can never be altered, changed, or improved is absolutely false. That's the liberal leftist communist manifesto that wants a job for everybody, where it is the private sector and the individual economy and entrepreneurship that generates jobs. And that's where the president is angling to. I think this is a long-term strategy where he will slowly begin to edit and curtail and prune these big government agencies that have grown for over 18 years.
Okay.
The Republicans were all thrown out of office and replaced with new people precisely because they fail to shrink the size of government.
Okay.
And I think the same thing is going to happen to Democrats because they're too ideological.
Let's look at it from a different aspect. I want to put this question, David. David, you know, federal workers, they are affected by a large number of them by the shutdown. They haven't been paid for more than a month now. They're facing financial problems. Why should they take the rap?
Well, I think it's absurd that they should take the rap. Congress is the first article of the co-equal branches of our government. Congress decides what federal agencies we have and changes them as times and conditions merit. The president only is there to faithfully execute what Congress has told him to do. And what Donald Trump has done here is manufactured a crisis. The Republicans under Nancy, the Republicans passed a bill to finance the government. Nancy Pelosi had the House pass the Republican bill, word for word, virtually. There are incredibly minor changes in it. And now Donald Trump is rejecting it. Donald Trump had a deal. He had 100 U.S. senators who voted for his deal in December, and he walked away from it. He's entirely created this crisis. And the federal workers who are not being paid, they are now, it is now creating danger in the United States. We've had air traffic controllers, the FAA, the FBI, national security agencies all say that we are being made less safe because of this government shutdown, which is entirely mm-hmm. Donald Trump's making by his own words. I will proudly own it, he said.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, what's the solution to this standoff?
Well, I think the solution is having the president recognize the Democrats are never going to voluntarily create a barrier, fence, or wall, so he's going to have to do it by himself using national security resources as a threat to national security. And he's giving them the political opportunity to make a deal, but they are going to rebut him. So he's setting them up for a 2020 confrontation where he will peel away a lot of the Hispanics and people who want DACA and really mostly people who want safe borders. To say there's not a crisis at the American border is ridiculous, because the majority of the American people have already confirmed there is a massive problem on our border. There is also massive problems in states like California, which is causing a civil war in this country with its sanctuary city policies, having policemen killed, refusing ICE federal agencies to locate and hold under federal law criminals. They're in violation of the Supremacy Clause. They're really on the border of being declared a state in rebellion, uh-huh. and the state government and governor should be arrested and liquidated for rebellion. We had that occur in the Civil War, and okay. this is a civil war. That's why you have newcaliforniastate.com and
Scott,
other states
running out of time.
Peeling away and creating new entities.
Okay, let me also go to David. David, we have only 1 minute. What's the solution?
Donald Trump is going to need to recognize, like Bill Clinton did with health care, that he didn't handle this well when he had his parties in control. He didn't get the funding. He couldn't get the Republicans to vote for the funding. And he's not going to get Congress to vote for his wall. How this is going to come out in the end, who knows? But there shouldn't be this kind of crisis. And Donald's disrespect for the Constitution is shown in a letter he wrote today declaring he would go to the House floor to deliver the State of the Union speech. As a co-equal branch, he has no right to go on the floor of the House, nor do I, nor does your other guest. And he's not going to be allowed onto the floor, but it goes to how Donald doesn't understand the Constitution, as I have been telling people for years, and I've known Donald for more than 30 years.
All right.
He has no idea what he's doing.
Okay, let's wait and see what's going to happen. On that note, we'll come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests and analysts who joined us. We had Scott Bennett, political analyst, joining us from San Francisco. Also, David K. Johnston, investigative journalist and author, who joins us from Rochester. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.